You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. It's been a, I don't know, maybe you'll tell me in a second, Tom, but it's been kind of a slow week here on Eye on the Ball. It's taken forever to get to Friday, and I'm never like that when I'm doing my show.
That's because yesterday was a long day.
It was, but it was a good show. It was a good show yesterday.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, we had Phil Johnson on, talked about the 97 run. That was a lot of fun to reminisce
Damon
about that.
Damon Alexander.
Yeah. It was a good show yesterday, I thought. Yeah. I did like to tease, I didn't tease him, but I did mention it. When they played in the, right before the NCAA tournament in 97, he was upset like crazy when they played in the Bay Area and got beat twice. He ripped into the players pretty heavily, and that was, I'll always remember that because you could hear it on the other side of the, of the locker room.
Yeah, it was, but it worked. It was fun. It was reliving the run for the tournament and then getting to the Final Four and then winning the championship. It was like a movie almost.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And many people have actually seen all the games and enjoyed them all over again. And now it's been 22 years now. Holy moly. So today's show, let me just kind of preview it real quick. I have Brian Simeon. He's in Mexico. He's the president of Los Capitanes de Puerto Peñasco. It's an expansion franchise of the Professional Basketball League. That's Brian Simeon. And he'll be on like at 5:10 right after I start the introductions here. Track him down in Mexico. We'll talk to him. I think he's got some local ties to Tucson. I'm pretty sure he does. At 5:40, we're going to talk to Fox Sports 10, Jude Bacavas. He's in Phoenix. He's the sports guy out there. If you're in Phoenix, every now and again, you probably see him and his face, and he does a pretty good job in Phoenix. And then at 6:05, I'm going to have a good friend or old friend, Pete Delgado. He was the former KVOA sports anchor. He was alongside Mr. Dan Ryan, the late Dan Ryan here. We'll maybe talk a little about Dan at 6:05. So we have a busy day today. If you'd like to call in, please do 790-2040 here on KVOI, the voice. A lot of things. It's the summer. I can't wait to get through this summer. But I knew it was going to be kind of tough. June wasn't that bad. July was okay, and we're only halfway through, but it's been kind of tough to get guests and all that.
So if August is the dog days of summer, are we in the puppy days of summer now in July?
Yeah. Yes. What are you drinking over there?
I don't know. It looks like some kind of a cola.
It's the cola. Okay, yeah. What do you got in that cola? So let's, you know what? While I'm jibber-jabbering, why don't you get a hold of Mr. Brian Simeon?
I'll do my best.
Simeon, and we'll kind of get ready for the day.
Somewhere in Mexico.
I think it's Puerto Peñasco. He had some videos early on Facebook. He was kind of enjoying the water out there, and I was thinking, darn, he's in the right place, and I'm not. Saw yesterday or today that Coach K, Krzyzewski, said that he didn't think that Mr. Zion Williamson should have been in the summer league playing. You know, he's good enough not to play in that. And he got hurt a little in the first game that he played in, and New Orleans has shut him down. It's always hindsight, you know, kind of like that broken shoe or that busted shoe when he played, was it North Carolina, in the game at Duke? You never know. Until things go wrong, you really don't know. So we'll see. There's a lot of things that we can talk about as we speak to our guys on the phone and our guests. It'll be random thoughts that go through my mind. Could go through a lot of different things because my mind is scattered with a bunch of BS. And once Tom kind of brings the caller on and stops making a dinner date, we'll be fine. As everybody kind of waits and waits. Excuse me. As we wait for Tom to get him on the phone, man, he's like ordering a meal here. What's going on? Are we ready? We're good. Coach Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well, Steve. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure, sure. This is Brian Simonian. Simonian, right?
That's right, Simonian.
Simonian. Great, great, great to have you. Great to have you. How long have you been in Mexico as part of this group that you're in? You're the president of the league, correct?
No, that's not quite correct. I'm president of one of the teams within the league.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yes. So, yeah, you've been in Tucson a real whole long time. I'm sure you've been down to Rocky Point yourself a few times.
Yes. Very much so.
And, I've been down here for about a month now, but I've been working on this program for about 2 years to try to get it going. As we know, basketball is really huge internationally. There's an impact in the NBA with Giannis, the Greek Freak, and Luka Doncic. And then, you know, University of Arizona have had some great international players. So we see how huge basketball is globally. And down here in Mexico, there are three professional leagues, and one in particular called CIBAPAC, short for CIBA Pacifica, has 18 teams participating, so there's 18 cities part of this league, and it's been around for 7 years, but there hasn't been a team in Puerto Peñasco, in Rocky Point, yet, until this year. So this year, Los Capitanes will be participating in the CIBA Pacifica, or the CIBAPAC League.
Very nice. You picked a nice spot to have a team.
Oh, my goodness. You have no idea. I'm so grateful to be here. And the city itself just loves its basketball. There's great grassroots programs here with the kids in the academies. They host many youth tournaments. They host even adult tournaments. In fact, right now in the gym, if those that are familiar with Rocky Point, is just a block up from the baseball stadium, which is on the main road there in Rocky Point. So the gym is real close to the baseball stadium. Right now there is a veterans basketball tournament. So that means only teams and divisions for 40 and over. There's even a 65 and over division. They're playing basketball. Players and teams from all over Sonora, Mexico, are here in Peñasco this weekend. Just shows how much they love their basketball. But there hasn't been a professional team for the community to really rally behind. So I'm really looking forward to it. So far, the community has been very welcoming, giving tons of support. We're already working in our off-season workouts with the players. And like you said, what a great spot. They love the basketball. And in fact, as soon as we're done with this call, I'm going to head over to the arena right now and watch some of those old guys go at it. It's so much fun.
It's funny. I want you to go recruit for me and Mike Fader. I know you probably know Mike Fader for the Lute Olson Fantasy Camp. We need some of those older guys coming up here and playing in that fantasy camp we have.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. I saw that you guys are putting that together. What a great event. And that's a big part of, like you mentioned, kind of the crossing the borders. The idea of the Capitan is similar to what I've experienced internationally with basketball, to the soccer club academy approach. So we'll have youth programs, every age level, both genders, that will level up to our program. And we want to bring youth programs to Phoenix and Tucson and play tournaments there, bring more Tucson Phoenix youth teams down here to Peñasco, to the already existing tournaments, have, like you said, the older groups come down, the veteran groups really have a lot more basketball going back across the borders.
Yeah, no question. Did they approach you or did you approach them?
Really good question. So it's been, like I mentioned, kind of 2 years running. It started 2 years ago. I've been involved with professional basketball for about 12 years. I got an opportunity to work in the G League 12 years ago, worked over in Australia, worked over in Britain, and also linked a lot of American players with foreign leagues so that they get their first kind of gig and I can learn all the different, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of all the international basketball leagues. And I was able to bring a group of American players to play preseasons along with a friend of mine down in Mexico, preseason games against this league. and I learned more about the league, and I saw the opportunity, and I learned where they were trying to expand to, and learned more about how to start the team.
Are you there? Did I hope I didn't lose you?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you're back. You're back.
Okay. So I was able to link with the league, kind of learn more about their ideas for expansion, met with the sports director in Peñasco, met with the mayor in Peñasco, got other support, and long story short, got the franchise approval just this past February for the season to begin, which begins August 30th. So our first game is August 30th.
Wow.
So kind of the long... Very long nice. And short of it there.
Very nice. In fact, we have a phone call with a question for you, Brian. Let's go to the phone lines. Elizabeth, thanks for calling in. What is your question?
Well, first of all, I'm so excited about basketball in Rocky Point. I go down there all the time. And so I'm curious to know, how do I get a schedule so I know when your team is playing? Because I'd love to go and watch your basketball team.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks so much for your support. We look forward to your attendance at our game. You can find our schedule on our Facebook page,
okay.
Instagram, Twitter. It's Los Capitanes PP, or you can search on your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Los Capitanes de Puerto Peñasco.
So,
and all the information is there.
So
soon we'll have information on ticket sales probably in the next week or two, but the schedule is up there.
Elizabeth, any more questions? That was a good question.
Yeah, I wanted to know if who the players are composed of. Is it like an international team? Do you have some from Mexico and some from America? How does that work?
Elizabeth, you're stealing my questions.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steve.
No,
I
you're good.
Your show,
you're
way.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, great questions.
So every international league has its own rules regarding import players, and this league, like the other Mexican leagues, the other two Mexican leagues, you can have two import players on the team, and the rest will be Mexican professionals. And we're looking to probably have a 12 to 14 man roster. So it'll be great for the local community to see local faces growing the Capitanes as a club, looking at the teenagers now that are in the club program in a year or two being part of the Capitanes, really watching players develop for the local community members.
How good is the league? If you've coached in the G League and you've been in Australia and in various places, where does this rank? Where does this fit?
That's a good question, right? So the way I liken to it is much like kind of like any other art form, in like baseball. So you have your single A, double A, triple A, and then you have your major leagues. I would say this is like your double A baseball. So we have the Toros in town. I would say it's one level below that. So if you have the G League, it'd be one level below that. The Ciba Copa, which is a different league here in Mexico, that is very even with the G League. In fact, many G League players, even one past Summer League MVP for the NBA, Glenn Rice Jr., he was the MVP of the Ciba Copa League last year.
Yeah.
So that's the big brother league to our league, the Ciba Pacifica League. So we are loosely affiliated like a minor league program with the Ciba Copa League. Us participating in the Ciba Pacifica League.
Cool. Elizabeth, any more questions? That was a good one for you.
I think that's it, and I appreciate you guys. Good luck, Brian, and keep up the good work, Steve. Enjoy your show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening, Elizabeth. I appreciate it very much so. Take care. I'm not sure this is a great question, but it might be. Do they get compensated fairly well?
Yes. The not only the imported players, but the local professionals as well. The other opportunity with this league, just like the G League, it's very eyes are on you. So there's two other leagues locally. There's the Central American League that are very close by. So it's an opportunity to step up, and you have to build your resume. So that's where a lot of the grassroots international programs are a little bit different in America, where it's kind of G League or bust when it comes to building your resume after college, whereas these other opportunities give you give a lot more people the chance to play, both on the Mexican side and on the American side.
Let me ask you. So, you know, Puerto Rico is not a big town. It's you know, confined. It has some people. You can see a lot of people all over the place. They must be not heroes, but they must be well known then, the athletes.
Yes, you know, that's part, like you mentioned, I was excited to find out that the Peñasco has a rich history of providing national-level players. That means players that made the Olympic team from Mexico. But the challenge has been, before this program, once that player hits the age of 15, 16, which is when secondary school ends here, they have to go outside of Peñasco to play competitive basketball. Now they won't have to. Now they'll have this opportunity. They'll have this platform. They'll have this club to be part of and play competitively and stay home. So yes, the national-level athletes have come, national-level basketball players have come from Peñasco, but they have to leave to play more competitively because there wasn't this opportunity before.
Yeah. So it starts August 30th. How far or how long does the season last?
The regular season is 10 weeks. It's 24 games, with the postseason ending right around Thanksgiving. So it goes from September to the end of November. 12 home games, 12 away games.
So Are you getting ready for the rosters right now? What, we're about 6-7 weeks away from the first game, right? So what's the process right now?
Yeah, that's such a good question. It's such a great place to be as we start this program. We have started our off-season programming with the local players. The official training camp will start August 11th. The players will arrive, which is a Sunday. We'll have about 3 weeks of a training camp. We're inviting about 20 players to this training camp, and then from that we'll cut it down to 14, 15 players. We had our official tryout back in May, where we had about 8 American players attend and about 14 Mexican local players that showed up. And from that, and plus my recruiting trails, like I mentioned, about 20, well, by 20 to the training camp, which starts August 11th.
So I'm sure you've been keeping your eye on the Summer League, NBA Summer League, so you have a lot of quality players there, former college players that were pretty good that won't make a roster in the NBA, so they start finding jobs wherever, like you said, the G League and the Australian League and Europe. So I'm sure maybe some would trickle down there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like you mentioned, Vegas right now is such a hotbed with the Summer League, with there's other large exposure camps for another 200 players held at other arenas, and those fellas are working really hard to get their first opportunity or to continue their opportunity. I was real lucky the last two summers to be part of some of those camps and create those recruiting trails to make sure that we do get not only quality players, the quality individuals. Part of when I meet these players and linking players from America internationally is I try to tell them and let them understand the concept of being an ambassador for basketball, because they're going to be one of two, maybe three on a roster, and they have to have a professional mindset and a professional approach to the entire aspect of being on the road. You're right. They'll trickle down from this time, like you said, is a perfect time. They don't get those contracts. Players got to play. They got to keep their resume boosted.
So what's the optimal age? Just right out of college to about 27? What kind of a roster will it look like?
Yeah, that's kind of the fun of the game, right?
Yeah.
I get to be the video game guy and put together the team and figure out a budget and, you know, and you got to have a good mix of veterans and some younger fellows. And you got to have a nice mix of individual personalities as well. So I'm learning that. I'm also learning the culture. I'm getting my Spanish down on the court and off the court so that I could really, you know, talk to these players and understand their mindset and then get everybody on the same page, because I think there's you know, a lot of teams that recruit really well, and a lot of teams coach, and we're looking to do a little bit of both.
So, yeah, you have your work cut out for you. I saw some photos of you on the beach yesterday or today, I can't remember, with the seagulls, I think. You're going to have to probably less seagulls, more basketball.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy my downtime. I just got done reading the book Red and Me, which I learned a lot about Red Auerbach and how he dealt with Bill Russell and their relationship. And like you mentioned, I'm at a great place to kind of sit and soak and build this project from the ground up.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I'm probably trying to head down there at some point soon, maybe catch a game or two and then meet you formally, because it's good. It sounds very interesting. I hope the basketball is very good.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we it's an expansion franchise. We got a lot to learn, and we're looking forward to throwing that ball up and see where we stand as well.
Okay.
And absolutely, when you come down, I'll show you around the spots I'm learning, and you can show me your spots, and yeah, I look forward to it.
See, yeah, no, I think you might have to hang on for a second. We got another call. I think we might have a call for you. Yes, I can't. Hello, caller. How are you doing? What's your question?
Yeah, are we speaking to the coach or the general manager?
He's the president of that team.
Who is the coach? Where is he from?
I am also the coach. Team president and head coach.
Did you get that?
No, I did not.
He is also he's the coach and the president of the team.
Thank you very much.
Yes. How do you pronounce your name?
Simonian.
No, the caller. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
I guess you might have already left. I'm not too sure. That was the only question, I guess. Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, you got it, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, we'll see you soon. Good luck down there. Anytime you're up in Tucson, give me a holler.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Thank you. Take care. Hey, Tom, let's take a break. I know we're way over it here before we take the next break here at 540 to talk to Mr. Jude LaCava. But that was a good call. I hope to go down there sometime soon. Maybe I'll catch a game. But if I'm down there, guess where I'm going to be at? I'm at the beach enjoying the sun and the sand.
With the seagulls?
With the seagulls, feeding the seagulls with my shrimp or whatever. Yeah. Hey, let's take a break right here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And we're kind of, the schedule is kind of cattywampus, or messed up, one of those two words, a few words. We're hoping to get a hold of Jude LaCava from Phoenix in the meantime, in the next few moments, but that was a good call from Mr. Brian Simonian, the president and coach of the team down there at Rocky Point, or Puerto Peñasco for you other guys who say it the other way. What's going on, Tom? So I was reading now that Curry and the guys at Golden State are ready for what's ahead. They're like we looked at odds. You didn't relook at the odds yesterday, did you? Where Houston made their blockbuster trade.
No.
And I think that they're going to be probably one of the top three teams to win it all next year. With the Lakers, I think, in the number one or two spot. And not that I really care about the NBA, and I'm talking about them now, which, you know, whatever. But we'll see. We'll see what happens next year. In fact, I have a friend up in Vegas right now just visiting. I should tell him, put $20 in the Warriors at 13, 16 to 1. That'll get you like $260, $70.
If it stays at 16 to 1.
No, but you want to get it now. You want to get it at 16 to 1, yeah. 16 to 1 is even better. That'd be $340.
Yes, sir.
So get it now. Going once, going twice. We'll see, because Houston's going to be pretty good. But if Houston doesn't win now with their guys, then they're never going to win it with Westbrook and Harden.
I guess Curry made his comments in Lake Tahoe. He's there for a golf tournament. I guess he's a pretty good golfer.
Yeah, no, he is a very good golfer. In fact, that's the annual golfing tournament they always have up there. It's like a celebrity big time deal. Through the years, it's I've never been there, but I have some friends that have been up there. It's a lot of fun. In fact, I think Steve Kerr played there a lot until he got his back hurt a few years ago. So, you know, we're seeing. In fact, I'm listening to Steph Curry in that press conference right now. I better turn that down.
Yeah, it's kind of echoing around inside your head. I can hear that.
There's more than that echoing around my head.
Oh, okay.
funny. Let's talk a little bit more. We're going to try to get a hold of Mr. Jude LaCava. I'm kind of flustered here. Oh, you were going to tell me your little smart remark that you were looking at.
Well, you were telling me that nobody cares about
The
Pac-12 rankings for the 2019-2020 season because it's way too early.
I didn't say that.
And I mentioned that Washington was getting some love,
no.
As was USC, and you couldn't believe that USC, anybody was paying attention to them.
No. let's go back and let's put this thing in perspective, Mr. Thomas.
Let's do that.
I showed the bracketology yesterday, and I talked about how Arizona was the number 5 seed, Washington was like the number 7, Oregon was about that too, and I think there was only 4 teams, and ASU was in there too. USC was not in the league, was not in the tournament as of right now. And you said, why? USC was supposed to be pretty good. You brought up that. And I said,
some people think that USC's got a pretty good team this year.
Your pundits, you said was your word. And I said, that's way too early for this to be talked about. He says, well, some people are. And I'm thinking, who? And apparently you found some who? Really? Is this for next year?
I think so.
With more time on their hands? Oh, I see. What you're doing is they're doing a lot of recruiting stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to find all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you're going to challenge me on my recollections, it'd be better for me to have something to refer to.
I like this feisty Tom. It's better than the I need to wake you up, Tom.
But number 10 in the nation as far as recruiting is the Washington Huskies, according to USA Today.
You're talking about basketball?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I thought that was pretty good.
You're making me yawn.
And they mentioned that Arizona did have the number 1 spot for a while, but now they have been pushed down to number 3 with Kentucky and Memphis.
Yes.
Being Memphis ranked ahead of them.
Memphis has done a great job with Penny Hardaway and the former spot where Josh Pastner was.
But so, USC even gets a mention by USA Today.
Has been to the recent. No, where? Where?
Right
where?
Here.
Yeah, read it.
That they had, they've only been to the Sweet 16 once since 2002.
That was their mention. So, out of context, Tom, you're just reading USC.
Well, let's see. They said those three teams, they're talking about Oregon, Washington. Where's Arizona? Oh, Arizona's right there. Okay.
Tom, you're I don't know what you're doing, actually. We need a policeman for Tom.
But now the USA Today folks have put Arizona State right up in there with Arizona, Oregon, USC, and Washington.
Hey, go to your left of that thing. There's a story there. Arizona high school basketball, one down, right there.
You want to take a look at that?
Yeah. Take a look at that. Arizona high school basketball coaches cleared of alleged racial discrimination following an investigation. Where was this at? In Phoenix?
Scottsdale Unified School District. Against Arcadia boys basketball coach Stephen Danford and Phil Levesque.
Oh, okay.
So back in November, apparently, there were some concerns about their activities.
Yes. Okay. But they've been cleared.
I guess so.
Well, it's tough to be a coach today.
In fact,
I wanted to be, I was going to get somebody, maybe next week, a coach and a referee, because would you want to be a referee? Heck no.
It's like trying to be a weatherman.
Why is that?
Well, nobody appreciates it when you're right, and they get all over your case when you're wrong.
Okay, I get it. But hey, let me tell you what the weather is today, Tom, Tucson. It's hot.
Yes, sir. But not as hot as it was yesterday.
Go back to your sports section, Tom. It's hot. That's your weather for today. I still don't get the weather, and I've complained about it on this show a few times. Hey Biff, what's the heat today? 105. Okay, back to you and the news.
Well, yesterday at this time was around 104.
I can't believe we're talking about the weather.
Today it's 100.
Man, come on, Jude.
We've got lots of clouds overhead, and they're saying that we have chances for thunderstorms.
Oh, yeah.
For today and the next 3 or 4 days.
Guess what the time of the year is?
It's like monsoon season.
Yes, thankfully. And it's just going to be
puppy days of summer.
It's going to be miserable now for the next 3-4 weeks.
Well, wet puppies.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, why don't you get a hold of Mr. Lucado?
Let me give him another
try. Wait. In fact, we need to go to another break before we go.
You want to go to the break before we try Mr. Lucado?
So we can try him over the breaks and we don't have to bore our listener.
All right.
I don't want that.
Was you trying to fill time while I'm on the phone?
Yes. Yeah, let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And now on the phone line, we have Jude Lucava of Fox 10 in Phoenix. How are you, Jude?
Hey, Steve, how you been? What's going on down there?
Well, nothing. It's the dog days of summer. And I kind of wanted to start it that way. You've been in this business a long time. So I would assume that the summers, wherever you're at, Phoenix or Tucson or whatever, this is the tough time where you make your money because what's there to cover? You have stuff to do with the Diamondbacks and things like that, but man, it's dead in the summer.
It is. It's a different challenge, I think. You don't want to stay interesting. You want to look at some of the things. Of course, you know, the Suns Summer League has been intriguing to watch, some of the new faces there and some of the NBA free agency that's come to the Suns. Of course, we're not that far away from the start of Cardinals training camp, but and we'll keep an eye on the D-backs. Have made it interesting, probably surprising some people here at the All-Star break playing tonight in St. Louis. But I think the curiosity for me is what happens next with your basketball program down there, in particular, now that we know there will be some type of level one sanctions against North Carolina State for dollars given to Dennis Smith. And, you know, I got to believe that we're going to start getting some news on what may be next in the days ahead.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you in terms of the news coming out soon or some point soon. I'm not too sure about the seriousness of it. I do understand what you're saying about the level one with North Carolina State, because I think we saw that there was money exchanged coach to player, but we did not see that here. You know, there was a lot of there. And before I asked you today to come on the show, I was going to ask you, in the grand scheme of things, because this all broke about 20 months ago already, maybe even sooner than that, that there was it was a lot of hoopla, but not a lot of bang that went with that hoopla. Or would you agree?
Well, I would agree, because I think, you know, when you do this type of investigation, you need definitive proof.
No question.
And I think that's where Sean Miller. You know, I think there could be a couple of game suspension? Do I think there could be some loss of scholarships? I do. But I do think that based on the steadiness of the U of A athletic department and AD, that I think there's a very reasonable chance that Sean Miller survives this. And, you know, here he is with yet another remarkable recruiting class. So I think that's the intrigue for me. Where the irony is, Steve, is that 15, 20 years ago, you know, if you had a couple of coaches that were bounced and one convicted and pleading guilty on a felony and another one involved in some academic issues, you know, that would be called lack of institutional control. And that would be pretty significant for a intercollegiate basketball program. So it is interesting. As much as they want to try to change things, I think Coach Miller is going to survive.
I totally agree with you and your explanation, because the timing of it, 10, 15 years ago, this would have been totally different. Not these days, it says, let's wait and see what's going on, and we'll go from there. But I think Arizona has tried to do what it can publicly to kind of move around and kind of maybe get some things settled before the news breaks, which could happen tomorrow, could happen in a month, could happen whenever.
Yeah, I'm just curious, too. You know, what if, now again, these are what if scenarios, you don't know. What if there is some type of penalty regarding postseason? I think that certainly is not out of the question. It could be in the mix. We don't know yet. And what does that do to some of these kids that, you know, maybe a Nico Mannion? I mean, by all accounts, he could be a one and doneer. So how does that affect, before school starts, some of the decisions here? That to me is going to be very interesting. And how aggressive will the NCAA really be?
Yeah, no, I know. And in fact, Arizona has been in the spotlight throughout the whole thing, not just in the background, in the spotlight. And as you brought up, North Carolina State issue, that was a big deal out there. But still, even Arizona, compared to there, was just out in the forefront throughout the whole trials, the whole news or cycles for the ESPN. It's almost unavoidable with something to happen or not to happen.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's the curiosity here is you know, what will the NCAA do? I mean, are they going to, you know, try to look at setting an example and
yes.
saying, look, you know, there are three or four programs here that were in the midst of this investigation in the last 20 months. We have to make it look like we care. We have to look at this situation. And if we don't do something, then we look lame. And I think that's where the intrigue is here. How aggressive will they be? And again, you've got a program that's had such a great, great history. So I my gut says that Coach Miller is going to survive. He's come back with another outstanding recruiting class. And, you know, I didn't think that way, you know, 6, 7, 8 months ago. I got to tell you.
Yeah, no, I, there are conversations. I'm well aware of that. It was like, what next? What next? What next? And then the what next never came.
Yeah, it's true. And look, I can't tell you how many people up here just think the world of Nico Mannion in particular.
Sure.
I had a chance to really see what this skill set is for this young man, and he is going to be extra special to watch. You know, look, to Coach Miller's credit, nobody's ever going to accuse him of not busting his tail, recruiting, and working hard. He is fanatical in his dedication to the program. I don't think anybody can say differently.
What have you seen Mannion play at least a couple of times?
Yeah, I've seen tape of him, and you know, when I talk to people that really have watched him, he's a special player.
Who does he remind you of?
Well, to me, he's, you know, he's the kind of guy that does everything exceptionally well. You know, if you look at, you know, it's always tough to make these comps. But he is an extra special guy, and you know, he shoots the ball particularly well. He sees the floor exceptionally well. He's a dynamic passer, and all of those types of things. But you know, those are the things that we have to look at there, and I think that's the curiosity. This kid is really, really special.
Yeah, no, and they've had a few special kids over the last few years. I think the last very special guy, and I could be very wrong, but I don't think I am, was Mike Bibby, another guy who came from Phoenix who led him to the title. Not that Mannion will, but, you know, when you really talk about special, and that's a word that I try not to throw around very often, but Bibby was that guy. You know, you could took it maybe Richard Jefferson a little, although he didn't have the cachet that Mike did. And then you have the Aaron Gordons and the Stanley Johnsons and things like that. And that was recently. But back in the day, when you look back, Mike Bibby was that guy.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think he, you know, that's a pretty good comparison. And this kid's maybe even potentially more physical once
yes.
he starts to grow into his body. But a tremendous passer, an excellent shooter, great passion for the game. So certainly, you know, this is going to be special for your Wildcat fans down there.
Yeah. Now they just got to hold their breath and hope the NCAA is kind to them.
Yes. That's
yes.
the key. I mean, that's the wild card, Steve. I mean, again, you know, where is this NCAA at in regards to reacting to this investigation that to me was at times so incriminating, and yet there wasn't definitive proof that linked Coach Miller to these so-called payments.
Right.
That's to me is, you know, I'm surprised. I'm really surprised because I thought this would have ended differently. But to Miller's credit, he grinded it out. He's recruited exceptionally well. And it may just work out in the long term for him.
Yeah. Let's shift gears to a team that you talked about earlier, the Suns. What in the world is going on with those guys? They're owned by a Tucson guy, Mr. Sarver, and it just seems like they're stuck in the mud somehow.
Well, you know, I will say this. This was a much more aggressive offseason. I really like the Ricky Rubio signing. I think Saric is going to give them an edge and some toughness and experience. A nice mentor for maybe DeAndre Ayton, been in the league enough years. I do like some of the things they're doing, but it has been a lesson of incompetence for so many years. Do I think they're going to climb the ladder in the West? I do not. Are they going to be more competitive? Definitely. but I don't see them in the playoff mix. I think the West is just so stacked with so many super teams now. But there's been a tremendous amount of criticism for Robert Sarver. He is a guy that has gone through five different coaches in 5 years. He's been through a number, a long list of general managers, including Steve Kerr. So many of these guys have gone on to much more success in their NBA careers. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned right now, Steve, I think that they're going to be more competitive. I do like Monty Williams. He's a respected coach around the league. They're trying to do a few things. They're starting to spend a little bit more money. But I don't see them really aggressively climbing the ladder in a playoff position. But I think they're going to be a little bit better. What does that mean? Maybe 28, 30 wins possible. Wow. We'll see.
Yeah.
But they're trying. At least we see the effort there and a bit of a plan.
Does it seem so long ago, 25, 26 years ago, when Charles Barkley was getting him to the finals against Chicago and all that fun in Phoenix? Because if there was a place to be in Phoenix, it was at a Phoenix Suns game.
You're right. I mean, look, the Barkley years were amazing. It really put Phoenix on the national map. And then, of course, we had a great run with Nash and Stoudemire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was tremendous. Just and then once Jerry Colangelo really exited the stage, it has been a misadventure and incompetence for almost a decade now. And it lays squarely on the feet of Robert Sarver. I mean, he's just been erratic at times, making all kinds of changes across the board. And the lack of continuity has really affected this franchise.
Yeah, no question. Let's transition easily from there to the Cardinals, where it seems like they're going to be in a stuck for a while, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing I'll say about the Cardinals that's interest is that they've created interest. And, you know, you can say what you want. I admire people that are willing to take risks in life. And this move to a first-year coach who was fired at Texas Tech and a 5'10" quarterback is awfully gutsy. It's awfully gutsy. And it's going to create some national and local interest. The question is, can it be successful? And you know, that's something we don't know. They've been very secretive about the type of offense, how it's going to look. But there is curiosity here. I got to tell you, Steve, I think as they approach camp, there's going to be a lot of national media here to see what plays out.
Yeah, it should be very interesting for you guys that are there almost every day talking to them and asking the questions, because how in the world does a college coach get fired and then lands forward in a great gig?
That's for sure. It's an amazing journey for Kingsbury. I mean, my goodness. And I do think you're going to see, obviously, the pure air raid principles here with this franchise. But we'll see. I think there's a lot of questions, but we'll get to know this organization in their new regime here fairly soon. I'm kind of curious to see what plays out. There's a lot of curiosity here.
Yeah, and then let's finally go to the football seasons, which starts here soon with Arizona and ASU. Kind of two different teams. Mr. Edwards doing very well, at least favorably in the media, and then here it's kind of like a top secret deal.
Yeah, it's really, you look at Khalil and what he's done at quarterback and how close they were to beating ASU last year down there. I mean, I still can't believe that comeback. As far as Herm Edwards is concerned, he's garnered a tremendous amount of respect and exposure for the program. I think the real question is going to be, you know, who plays quarterback? Who starts at quarterback with Manny Wilkins gone? And, you know, are they going to have to really, I mean, we got three or four freshmen here that are competing for that job. They're going to do it with defense, run game, and try to bring a young quarterback along. My sense is Jaden Daniels could very well be that guy, but we'll see. They say they're going to name that quarterback 2 weeks into training camp. The schedule's a little bit on the light side, although they do travel to Michigan State. And from there, we'll see what happens in the Pac-10. But Herm has brought some stability and some exposure and high profile to the program. It's helped them with recruiting. And I have to tell you, you know, he surprised a lot of folks. The initial press conference, a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, what are they doing here?
Right.
But he has come back and, you know, was very competitive. Most of the games were within a touchdown. And I got to tell you, I think that the program's heading in the right direction. I think as far as Sumlin is concerned, people just want to see, you know, they want to see what he does, especially with recruiting. And, you know, they've had some interesting possibilities down there. But I do believe that, you know, we're going to find out a lot about these programs in their second year.
Yeah, no question. It's funny how Herm's just the personality. It would be, if I were a parent of a player, how could you not want your kid to play for him?
Well, he's a closer in the living room, and look, he's got a Wildcat working for him, and Antonio Pierce, who has been a pipeline to Southern California, and that's really, quite frankly, what Todd Graham couldn't do. He couldn't get those kids out of Southern California, whereas Pierce has been able to, you know, high school coach there, and man, he has tapped into some top flight talent, especially in California. That's been the difference so far.
Yeah, no question. Hey, Jude, good to hear from you. We'll talk to you soon as we get heated up here in August and see what's up. We'll see what we're up against here as the teams get closer to playing.
You got it, Steve. Always great to talk to you. Stay in touch.
So, same here. Take care. We'll talk again if anything breaks NCAA-wise.
You got it.
Great. Thank you. Hey, Tom, that's going to conclude almost today's first hour. It went by pretty quick with some good guests. Thank you, Jude, again, for joining us. Fox 10, if you're up in Phoenix.
I found it entertaining and instructional.
Instructional, okay.
Cool. And informative.
Yes, yes. And we didn't have to talk to each other all that much.
The next
hour might change that.
Oh, darn.
Yes, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. But let's call the first hour a complete success. I don't know if the listeners will think that, but what the heck. I'm voting right now. 1-0. So let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.